Yeah, you get the number.
This obviously read the says of Vayera Lov Hashem Be'elonei Mamreg. I want to take a little different approach to what we usually do, and I hope it's as interesting, if not more interesting. So Vayera, of course, is replete with stories of Avraham Avinu. The three Malachim come to visit and inform Avram of his immediate future, his Mila, and he'll recover, and Yitzchak will be born, and stone will be destroyed. Then Avram pleads on behalf of Sodom, or at least tries to understand God's system of justice. Sodom is destroyed. Lot escapes. Avram then gets involved in Avimelech, a similar story to Lech Lecha, in which he got involved with Paro. Then Yitzchak is born, and Hagar and Yismael are dispatched. Avram enters into a treaty with Avimelech, and then Akedah Yitzchak. And that essentially is the Sedra Vayera. Of course, this took less than a minute. The deeper question that I want to understand is Haftorah. The Haftorah tells us two stories from the Lochan days, and the Haftorah, as we know, always encompasses some theme. It's a parallel theme that to what exists in the Sedra. And the Haftorah from the prophets reinforces one aspect of the theme. In Vayera, it's not that clear. And I think it's worth our interest to understand these stories. When I first thought about this story yesterday, I realized I didn't know much, at least about the first story. More about the second story, which is more common. But I want to understand what's the connection between the Haftorah and the Sedra. Haftorah has basically two stories, two women, and their involvement with Elisha. They turn to Elisha Hanavi for assistance. So in the first story, the Yishachas and the Shei Benanadiyim, just to tell the stories in brief, one woman, a widow of one of the prophets, cries to Elisha and says that her husband, it actually was Ovadia, the prophet, died. You know that your servant was God-fearing. And the creditor came and has taken my two sons as slaves. Elisha said, Marcelloch, what am I supposed to do? And then he said, tell me what you have in the house. And she said, she has nothing in the house. All she has in the house is one sieve of oil. So he says, go to all the neighbors and gather as many empty vessels as you can find. And she does. She closes the door and he tells her to start pouring from that jug of oil into all the empty jars. And miraculously, all the jars fill with oil. Olive oil, unfortunately, not fuel oil, which is a better miracle today. But all the jars fill with oil until the whole neighborhood runs out of empty vessels. And then Elisha says to her, you'll take this oil and you'll sell it. You use the proceeds to redeem your sons. The chen hoyo, that's exactly what happens. The at uvanayach tichi banosar. You'll pay off your creditor and you and your children will live off the remainder. And that's what happens. That's the first step in Kirkham of Haftorah. Haftorah is actually a little longer than the usual Haftorah, but that's the first story. What's the connection between that story and the Sedra? It is not very obvious. So let's get back to that. The second story is more well known. The woman of Shunem, the Yishar Shunamit. That's the better known story. Here Elisha then leaves this woman. Vayayom vayavar Elisha Shunem. Vishom Yisho Gidolah, and there he found a great woman, prominent woman, Batahazek Bo Lecholofem. She implored him, come share bread with herself and her husband, and he does. Then she offers him tremendous hospitality, says she has an attic, and he could spend time there, Mitzod Yishukon Yuchisei Umnorah, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. What else does a person need? It's a classic hotel room. When did he come to us? Just come and stay there. So indeed, he goes there, he sleeps there. He says to his aide, Gehazi, find out what this woman wants, what we should do for her. So she says to Gehazi, Vatomer, and he says, do you want me to intervene with the king or the military? What favor can I do for you? Vatomer, and she says, Besof ami anochi yosava. Famous phrase, by the way. I dwell amongst my people. I don't need anything special. I'm no different than anyone else. Elisha pursues his inquiry. Vayomer Mela Sosla. Vayomer Gehazi Avobeinlo. Isosla came. She has no child, no son, and her husband is very old. But then we see a little parallel to the beginning of Vayera. What's it? He says to call her, she comes, stands in the entranceway. At this season, next year, you're going to be embracing a son. Now, of course, that phrase alone is reminiscent of a pasuk at the beginning of Vayera, when the Malachim say to Avram, Vayomer, so go to Vaylecha to Eish Chaya. They say, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and so your wife will have a son. So I was listening and then the story of Vayera continues. But there's one difference. Here he says, At Choveches Vein, and in Vayera the Malach said, Vihinei Vein. What's the difference? Well, we'll see. Vatomer el Adoni, she says to her master, Isho Elohim al tuchazei b'shifchosecha. He says to him, do not, my master, lie to your servant. Don't lie to me. And tell me that I, an old woman with an old husband, are going to have a child. End of discussion. Now I started to laugh, no recrimination. Vatahar Isha Taylor Bain, indeed she conceives and she has a son. Exact same time, 1 year later from Elisha's arrival, he gives birth to a son. That would be a very happy ending to the story. The story does not end. The child grows up. One day goes out to his father with the other reapers. Vayomer Elohim, he says to his father, Roshi, Roshi, my head, my head. Vayomer Elanar, Soeyu Elimo, and he says to his attendants, carry him back to his mother. Vayisraeyu Vayiziyelo Imo, so they carry and bring him back to his mother. Vayeshev al Birkel ad Asoroyim, and he sits on her lap until noon. Vayamos, and he dies. Tragic, dies. I guess we could think maybe he was comatose, but no, nobody says he died. But Talvat Hashkizel Nitatrisha Elohim at his Gorbadova, they say. So she brings him up to the attic where Elisha stayed and puts him on the bed where the Israel Elohim had stayed as well, closes the door and goes out, and she says to her husband, doesn't seem that she told her husband that the boy was dead. Doesn't say that. Reminiscent also of the story of Beruya and Reb Meir, her husband, when their two sons died. But now their two sons were not resurrected. In any event, she goes out and she says, I need a donkey. Baruch Adisha Elohim Lashuv, I'm going to go to Elisha. Bring him, see what happens. Vayomer, and the husband says, indeed he did not know, Madua Halecha Selov Hayom, Lachodesh Lotzabos. Why are you going to the Navi today? It's not the Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos. Implication, by the way, is that on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, the mitzvah to greet your Rebbe. In fact, there's a halacha like that on the Regalim, based on this. You're supposed to greet your Rebbe, your teacher, on the Regal. I would try to call my Rebbe before Yom Tov, or on Yom Tov itself, call the Moed, based on this. So the husband says, why are you going to the Navi? It's not Rosh Chodesh, not Shabbos. But so then she says, Shalom. I don't think that's shalom in the modern sense. But hasta la vista. He didn't tell him. Didn't say a word. Shalom. Everything was fine. Peace. So she saddles her donkey and she travels to the Novi at Tara Kamel, which is today Haifa. By Ikeros Israel Kimo Sami Negev. At least her sees her. He says to Gehazi, here's the tsunamis. Bring her. Look like her saw. The more law and say to her, Hasalom Loch, Hasalom Liyseich, Hasalom Layoled. Peace to you, your husband, your child. Vatoma Shalom, and indeed she says yes. And know what she says. Vatavo Lisa Lakino Aho, she comes to the mountain. Vatachazet Raglov, she grabs onto his leg. Vaidat Gehazi Lohadfo, Gehazi Elisa's aid comes to push away. It's fascinating that a woman should grab the legs of the Navi. Vayomi Selokim, Hatela, leave her be. Tinafso Morolo, apparently she's very embittered by something. Vashem Helimi Meni, Valori Gidli, and got hid from me, didn't tell me. So something is troubling her. I don't know what's troubling her. Let her speak. Vatoma, she says, and she doesn't come out and say that the boy is dead. She says, Hasha'alti Zay Me Sadoni, did I ever ask you for a son? Hello, Amarti, didn't I say, Lo Tashleusi? Didn't I say, don't mislead me? What she had said was, Al Tachasei, don't lie to me. But don't mis- did I say, did I not say, don't mislead me? The only way to get so right away she realizes, bless you, something is up. Says to Gehazi, in effect, get the keys to my car, and we're going over there. Vatomer Eim Hanach, Chaya Semachin Afzichon Nezrek, I'm not leaving you. So they go together. Vevo Elisha Haboisa, Vine Hanah Meis, Mushkava Mikaso. Behold, the lad is dead. Lying on the bed. Vayavo Vayizgor Adelis Batsneim, and he closes the door behind them. Vayispalel Hashem, and he prays to Hashem. Vayal Vayishkaz al Yeled, Vayosem Tiv al Tiv, Einov al Einov, Chapov al Chapov, Vayidhar alov. And the Novi davens, and then he climbs, he lies on top of the child, and he places his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his palms on the child's palms, and he, Vayidhar alov, he lies completely prone on top of him. Vayochum Tsar HaYoled, and the flesh of the lad is warm. Vayosa Vayelech Vaboyet Vachatena Vachatena Vayal Vayidhar alov. And he went, left, walked around the house, inside the house, came back, and did it again. Vayizorer Hanar Hatsheva Panim. And the child sneezed 7 times. Vayizkach Hanar Zeinov. And then he opened his eyes. Vayikro Gehazi Vayomer called to Gehazi and said, Kro el Tsunamis Hazos. Call to this woman, the Tsunamis. He did. Vatavoi Lov. Vayomer Shivanech. Carry a child. Vatavo Vatipola Raglov. Vatishtachu Otsov. And she came and she fell at his feet, prostrated herself on the ground. Vatishos Benoch Vatishay. She picked up her son, he's now alive, and they left. End of story. End of Haftarah. The child is resuscitated by Elisha, and life goes on. It's interesting. That's an interesting point in itself. The Sfardim just ended at Vatoma Shalom, and that's it. So we have to understand also, why did the Sfardim end the Haftarah before the resurrection? Why? And I think the broader question that I want to understand is, what's the connection of either story to the Haftarah? Now, at least in the second story, there's some thematic, at least linguistic symmetry. L'moed hazek heschayo, you have two older people, husband and wife, having a child, promise to them, the child is born, like Avraham Sarah were old, and had child promised to them, and the child was born. And I guess you could say also that by the same token, each of their children almost died. This long-awaited, anticipated son, the boy here, and Zakedus Yitzchok. So also the old couple's child almost met an untimely end. But it's not the same. Certainly it's not that Kedo. That Kedo was the command of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And here the child just died. And just to say that they're looking, Chazal were looking for a Hasar, and Hasar is all chosen by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolos. They're not chosen lightly. They chose the Hasar because you also have two old people, you also had a son, and there's the Hasar team the same, Hakovet has been, they've been before at Devo. There has to be something more than that. That's correct. That's also correct. That's very good. One asked for help, one did not. That's this story. What about the first story? With the woman and the oil and the creditors and her two sons. I mean, if the Smardim are going to top off the end of the Haftarah, so why would they lop off the beginning of the Haftarah? Just start with the story of the woman of two names. And they have a nice compact story. As a matter of fact, I want to make it more compact. Zerish, the first seven children, right, starts. Vahi Ayom, Vayavar, Eliso, Shunayim. That's the main aspect of our Torah. It's certainly in terms of quantity of children. So lop off the first seven, and you'll add the last 14. How do you feel in terms of? Yes, but it's not. Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, look, it's the same in the sense that you have a woman and a child. But aside from that, you're both sent away by Alzheimer. He's sent away, as is Hagar. This woman's not sent away, and the son is not sent away. The son is seized by creditors. How creditors can seize a child is also something we have to ponder. We can't say about Avram because God told him, "Call us to my love for listen to Sar. She's right. Send her away. Send her away from his mother away. But here she's a victim of seems such a crime. And you're right. There is some similarity, but there's no. She does. That's correct. Right. I guess so, but it's a new story in Tanakh where, look, it's always a story in Tanakh where a mother asks or anyone has to help. I think it's a broad, it's a nice I always tell the story. I was 5 years old, and there was a Sheldon show at the time. I forget the name of it, but part of the gimmick that they had is you could submit to them any types of squiggly lines, and their artists would create something out of it. So I sent something in, and mine was chosen. And they tell you, like, we could see in advance, mine was chosen. So I sent in five wild lines, and I said, "You're a hippopotamus." I was a wise guy, even at that age. Why, the lines had nothing to do with hippopotamus. "You're a hippopotamus." So my mother brought me home from school early. I think the show was on 3:30, 4 o'clock. And my name was called, my lines appeared on the chart, and what he did is he drew a hippopotamus around my line. Right, that's right. So my lines became, you know, the interior of the hippopotamus. Awesome. So I got a gift, a record that I listened to once, and my parents went to Oz going on. But you could draw the line so wide that, you know, it's woman, a child, and it's all the same. But thematically, what's the theme that links everything here? I want to take the second story first, because it's a more familiar story to us. And I saw something that Soloveitchik Zatzal said on it, and it connects a very important theme of the Shedra with Aftar as well. And leave the other story for a little later on today, because that required a little more thought. Even the Rebbe didn't approach that. So let's understand. The second story, both the woman of Shunem and Sarah were Akharos. They were both down. And they were both blessed with sons after they were promised, in Sarah's case, by the Malach. In the woman's case here by Elisha Navi, yet there's another similarity between the two. neither of them had ever asked for a son. Neither asked for a son. Sarah never asked for a child. Even Avram never really asked for a child. He would just be lamented. What can you give me? I'm childless. So Avram really had reconciled himself to his childlessness. But here, the Shulamith had also reconciled himself. When Gehazi asked, essentially, what can we do for you? He said, I'm very content. I dwell amongst my people. If God has not blessed me with children, I'll make my contribution in another way. And they persisted. And Elisha said, unasked, no, this is my promise to you, being a tzedekah, that at this time next year, you'll be embracing a child. And she said, don't lie to me. When in fact, the child dies, she says to Elisha this complaint, reawakening the fact that this was not her doing. Did I ever ask the child from you? Hallo amarti lo tashlosi. I just said to you, don't deceive me. Don't promise something and then take it away. That is to say, I didn't ask you for any favor. I never asked you for any kindnesses. Certainly not the favor from which something evil will come. What Chazal called a tovah she'enah shleimah. There are certain favors that are complete and favors that are incomplete. The classic case is the Sar HaMashkin. Yosef did a favor for him. He not only didn't remember him, he forgot him. And then later on, 2 years later, he repaid him. I mentioned to Paro that Yosef interprets dreams. That's a typical example of the Tovos She'ena Shleimah, an incomplete favor. See, she said, don't lie to me in the sense that I'm not asking for anything. Just don't cause me any sorrow. And now that you've given me a child, only to take away the child, I have more sorrow than if I had never had the child. That was her lament to the Navi. This is worse. So the Yishar Shulamis had a taina. She didn't really have a tshila. She had a taina. She had a complaint against Elisha Navi. In the Sedra, Avram also had a taina. Although in the Sedra, Avram never expresses it. What's Avram's taina? He also didn't ask for a son. He said, Hashem Elokim Matitem Li, V'noch Elech Ariri, U'ven Mesek Beisir, the Mesek Eliezer. Enough that I'm childless. The one who sustains my household, Eliezer, that he's the one I will train, I'll impart the ideas to, that's sufficient. And once Yishmael is born, and God promises Avram that he's going to have another child, he says, Lu Yishmael Yichyeh Lefonecha. It's enough, would that Yishmael alone exist, live? I need another child. So Sarah herself never asked for a child. So Avram now accepts that he's childless. Malach comes with the promise of God that he's going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child exactly a year from now. And exactly a year later, Vashem Pakat is Sarah, the beginning of Sarah Kofalas in our treasure. God remembers Sarah, the great Zichronos that we mention on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, that's the Torah reading. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, Vashem Pakat is Sarah. Yitzchak is born. Chok also we Elohim, Chok Shema Yitzchakli. This great joy, great unbounded, limitless joy of Avram Avinu that he now has a son. That's Tarkov Alex. And then what happens in Tarkov Bay? Tachnor Zincha Es Yechidcha Asher Ahavta Es Yitzchak. God says to Avram, with all the Bilbo and all the promises, and the angel, and the birds, and the Chok Asher Elohim, and the great Mishter, the Yom Higomel Yitzchak, the banquet, the feast that Avram threw for the entire town, the day that Yitzchak was weaned from Sarah. And God says, take your son, this son, your only son, the son you love, Et Yitzchak. Each Dibur conveying tremendous anguish to Avram. You'll take him to one of the mountains and bring him up as an offering. The Yishashun and Mishadashayna. Adoni, Hashal, so Zenesh Adoni, I asked you for a child. Avram really had the same time. What was Avram's response? In the Torah was nothing. He didn't say a word. The Medrash says, the Medrash conveys to us Avram's thought process. He could have said that on his Zvara, so first of all, human sacrifice is also, but let's say he's not going to teach Torah to God. He could have made a simple point. You said to me, he bring Yitzchak to Torah to Chazara. That's about Yitzchak is going to be your seed. The seed of Avram to the world is Yitzchak Avinu. The contradiction. How is it possible that he be Yitzchak to Torah to Chazara on the one hand, and Chachlas Binchas Yechidcha Asher Hafet Yitzchak Chalei Shom La'olof on the other hand? Those two are so inconsistent as to be diametric opposites. You cannot have both those sukkim being sustained. Shnei Dvarim HaMachshishim Zezah. There are two sukkim that openly contradict each other. It's a good argument. That argument is a good argument. But you notice that Avram never made that argument. Avram never said, like the woman of Shunem, I'll pashlosi, I just ask you, don't mislead me, don't give me tsar. Why give me a son only to take away that son? That really is the connection, the love thread between the Hasaras. The contrast between the woman of Shunem is Beis Hadrakesh and Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the exemplar of Pesachim Bashem. You can aspire to it, but no one can meet. No one can match that level of Pesachim in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the contrast between the limitless bitachon of Avram Avinu and the taina of the Yishuah Tsunamis. And it's not to say that her taina was unjustified. Her taina could very well have been justified. The pathos of a woman is grieved. If she waits all the time for a child, in a sense, has acclimated herself to that state, and if she's given a child, the child wrenched away. Yes. What she was lacking, on some level, was the bitachon of Avram Avinu. That's the difference. Yes. What was the point of what happened to us? Yeah, hold the thought. One thing to add, yes. Both spouses don't know. About Cato. That's also true. Okay, that's good. What else? What about Chovekah Zayn? So who is this child who's resurrected? Well, the phrase in the Navi gives it away. So Eish Chayat Chovekah Zayn. The Chazal say this became, he became a Navi Chavakuk. Chovekah Zayn. Chavakuk. So Elisha really was able to resurrect his child, and this child became really one of the great Nevi'im. As I'll say, it's at the end of Makos, that's Chazal and Aleph, when the Gemara is speaking about how the Torah's postulates can be reduced to 11, to 7, to 5, to 3. Atzevoch HaVakuk HaNaviv HaMidun HaLachat. Chavakuk encapsulated the whole Torah in one phrase. The tzaddik be'emunoso yichyeh. The tzaddik lives by his emunah. You see, by the way, tzaddik lives by his emunah is really reference to Avram. On one level, to his own mother, that is the test that she endured. But nonetheless, she's a great woman. I mean, to ask these questions to the Navi is very natural. Yet, that's the Navi Chavakuk. All this is fine. What about the first story? the first source. So Rav Hirsch actually writes in his commentary on the Navi that both these sources examples of the chesed that Elisha did, similar to the chesed that Avram Avinu did in a variety of ways in the Sedra, with the Malachim who were his visitors, and on behalf of Sodom, and with Avimelech later, etc. But again, it just seems to me that it's drawn much too broadly, like the lines around my hippopotamus. Yes. I thought so. Has he not appealed to Elisha? He's dead, that's correct. God has many agents. So there's no reason not to surmise that. The fact is, I mean, the clearest example of that, the most outrageous example, is, yes, him himself spent 7 days trying to convince Moshe to take the mission and lead the Jewish people out of Egypt, right? And Moshe's a very reluctant participant in that whole process until God convinces him, all right? They start their return to Mitzrayim, and what happens? So compare Dalit. Vayiva derech bamalon, vayishkesheru Hashem, vayiva keif hamiso. They stop in an inn along the way, and God, kaviyachol, meets them, and an angel really means meets them, but vayiva keif hamiso wants to kill them. Why does the angel want to kill them? Because Moshe had not circumcised Eliezer his son, who was born on the way. So it was Rakana. So by the case time he said, God was going to kill Moshe for not circumcising Eliezer. So on one level it's understandable. It's on his madrego, he cannot be nichzal in such a mitzvah as mitzvah milah. But from another perspective, he just spent 7 days talking him into it. You're the man. You're the only one. You have the background, the upbringing, the palace, the people respect you, listen, etc. I'll give you an insight into my nature that no one else ever had. Right? Etia Sherekia. Moshe speaks to God from the Sneb, Boer Boesh, the burning bush. Yes. As I think it was Napoleon said, the graveyard is filled with indispensable people, even Moshe Rabbeinu. By the case of so, Moshe is not going to tell the line. He's going to commit an egregious sin. He's expendable too. There'll be another Tariah. But it's no different here. It's the exact same thing. If he's not going to embark on this process of saving a son as best he can, there's an ace, obviously. Resurrection's an ace. So, but it'll be someone else. Yeah. Because he did. Oh, her lack of bichachon. What's that? Right. Well, I don't want to see it. I mean, talk is a lack of bichachon because you're allowed to, I want to say in a different sense. All right. I know you're very protective of the women characters in Tanakh. So let me try to explain in a different way. No. Please come resurrect my son. No, say something, Luke Foutel. You see, there's another way to look at it. And that is what she's saying. The rope seems to be much more critical in the way you approach that. I would say something different. That what she was saying essentially is what Avraham said to God regarding Sodom. Let me understand. Let me understand the need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avraham said, maybe this 50 Sadikim is a Chayir. Or 45, or 40, 30, 20, 10. Let me understand how the Nida Sadin operates. What's just about killing a whole city if you have 10 Sadikim or 20 or 30? On what level does the Nida Sadin shift? That was Avram's question. You could say the woman of Sunain had the same question. Let me understand the Nida Sadin. How does God operate? How does Hashem operate in the world to give something and take it away? It's not a lament or a complaint as much as it is a question about Hashgachas Hashem. Questions we could ask? Right. That's a nice way to look at it. And in fact, should the rope connect to the Akedah? If that's the case, we should connect it both to the Akedah and to Avram's plea on behalf of the dome. How does the midas hadin, how does God's attribute of justice, and for that matter, his attribute of compassion, the midas harachamim, how do they intertwine? How do they relate? How do we understand anything about it? Another point. In that sense, she was obligated to go forth and see what she could do to help her child, because what affected her was what seemed to her an injustice. And then, in fact, is what affected Avraham Avinu as well. You see, the Torah says in Vayero, before Avraham starts his plea on behalf of Sodom, the Avraham hayo yeh l'goy gadol v'atzum, v'nivuchu vol kol goyei haaret, alright, that God says that Avraham, he's going to become a great nation, everyone will be blessed through him, that I know he's going to command his children, his descendants after him, and they'll observe the way of God in order to do righteousness and justice. It's a beautiful puzzle. What's the connection? It means the Lassos Gedakol Mishpat is going to demand that Avraham have the clearest understanding of what is righteousness and justice. And that can't be if he thinks there's an injustice. That's what he says. Hashofet kalaretz lo yasum mishpat. Where's the justice in killing wantonly? Is there tzaddik in there too? So God took him really step by step, measure for measure. 50 tzaddikim is one din. 45 is another. The point is, there's five cities and five towns, five principalities. And if there's 10 tzaddikim in each city, to Avraham that was a clear thing. He has a tzibur of righteous people in each city. And maybe there's 9 plus a tzibur. And maybe only 4 cities, and 3, and 2, maybe just 1 city in that whole, you know, it's like Bergen County, in different municipalities. But there are just 10 in one city. Can it be mezakeh the rest of the county? So Avraham is trying to understand the mishpat Hashem. So too, the woman of Shunem. All of which brings us to the first story. The first story was more of a puzzle, because on the surface there's almost no connection. I mentioned what I first said, the general chesed, perhaps more than that. Now, the first story is interesting in its own right. It's actually almost painful to listen to because of the tzaras that are involved. It was a very terrible time for Jews. One of the worst kings we ever had was Achav HaRasha. So the Isha Achas Minishay Bnei Anaviim Tzakal Yisrael Emor. A woman, one of the wives of the Bnei Anaviim. The Rashi says here in the novel, Malachim Beis, Tarek Dalet, Eisha Sovadya Haisa. He's the wife of Ovadya, also one of Treyasar. Like Chabakuk, towards the end of Achar. Also in Treyasar. The great prophet who prophesied about the destruction of Edom. Ovadya being a descendant of Edom. So she says, my husband died. Avdecha yishimeis, your servant, my husband died. Va'ato yodata ki avdecha hoyo yoreas Hashem. And you know that your servant, my husband, feared God. What happened? So Rashi continues, Va'noshe bo lakacha t'shnei yoladai lo lavadim. The creditor came and took my two sons. Why did the creditor come? So Rashi explains, the Malbim actually has the story in a broader sense, that Ovadya shehechabi meyon neviyim b'amara. Ovadya, so Achav was a tyrant, a despot, and he tried to eliminate any type of vestige of Jewish life in the land of Israel. He was an idolater and worse, pagan, a real Russia. And the neviyim, of course, were in hiding. That's the story we mentioned 2 weeks ago about Eliyahu at the Sweet of the Cave, who fed by the raven in order to avoid the wrath of Achav. So Ovadya took it upon himself to hide 100 Nevi'im and to feed them. The Yechalkalein Lechem Umayim. To feed them bread and water, to keep them alive. The Chazal say also that he gave them oil to light their cave in order to give them some comfort. And that's why the miracle took place with oil. In any event, we would throw that, is that where to get the money from? So Nevi'im were not known for their wealth. he had to borrow money from Achav. Rashi says he borrowed money from Yehoram ben Achav. Yehoram ben Achav, what a racket that was. His father's trying to kill them, and the son is lending money to try to keep the Nazim alive. So he's really profiting at both ends, and he's lending money at an exorbitant interest rate, like the Torah prohibits. But Ovadia paid it. He took the money to buy the food, the bread and water to support the Nazir. And when Ovadia died, Achav had also died, then Yehoram came and Rasha Likach Zbon of Avadim. He came and she had no money to repay Ovadia's debt, so Yehoram, Achav's son, took the two sons as slaves. That was, of course, against the Torah, because you can't take someone as a slave for non-payment of a debt, except in the case of the Eved Ivri, the Ganes. Other than that, what's that? You can't take the debt. You can't charge interest also. But, we're not dealing with Tzadikim, we're dealing with Shah. We're dealing with Shah here, so they have no choice. So now she comes to the Navi with a legitimate lament. Look, I've before you see me, but I'll tell you a gossip, you have before your Reyes Hashem. When Hashem go, now what are we going to do? And Elisha says, Martha, well, what can I do? Yes, that's also true. That's correct. So, what's the connection? You see, the widow here, Avadi's widow, had a very legitimate grievance. Here, he did the right thing. He did the moral thing, Avadi. He did what was just. Avdecha ha-yayareyach Hashem. Your servant was a God-fearing person. He did what was right in God's eyes. What's the theme of Vayera? If we had to articulate one overriding theme of the whole Sedra, what's that theme? The upper set of the four. The whole Vayera is V'helokim Nisash Avraham. Vayera has many of the Nisyonah, half the Nisyonah of Avraham Avinu. Lech Lecha and Vayera, those are the Nisyonos. What's a Nisayon? Everything is a Nisayon. From the Malachim coming, and the Mila, and Zom, and Lod, and Avimelech, and Hagan Yishmael, and the Akedo. Everything that happens to Avraham is a Nisayon. There's 10 Nisyonos. Avraham has 10 trials. What's a trial? See, a Nisayon is a trial where it's not clear what's right and wrong. There's no one approach that works. I'll address this later on this week in a different context. But here, I mean, suddenly it's a situation where you can make an argument on both sides. All right? Like the Akedah, for example. I said earlier, what's the Akedah? Avraham had a very legitimate taina. He said on the one hand, Kibi Yitzchak Shelech Hazara, and on the other hand, you say, Kachos Bincho. Where do I go? I whatever I do, I can say no, because I'm quoting you, God, who said to be here, to tell I can say yes, and then what happens? But every Nisayon is like that. Is Avram, let's say Avram did not plead on behalf of Zom, what would we say? Well, clearly, if God is determined they need to be destroyed, the world is better off without them. And the same thing with every few sons they go through. You could always make two arguments. And the best example are those recurrent events in the houses of the monarch. With Avram Sarai with Paro, Avram Sarai with Avimelech, Yitzchak and Rivka with Avimelech. What's the right answer? What's the better approach to take? There's no better approach. That is the Nisrayon. That, by definition, is the Nisrayon. There is no good approach. And yet, to endure a Nisayon without having any diminution in our emunah, without our bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu being shaken, complete reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Nisayon. So you asked him before, Ofer and Betty, someone from that table. So what was the point? What was the point of what the Yishar Shun Amir endured? Give a son and have a son die. What's the point? That's the point of the Nisayon. The Nisayon stands by itself. What is this person about? What's the level of this person's emunah? What's going to happen? In every life, we always experience Nisayon. The question is, how are we going to respond to that? There's no person that doesn't have Nisyanos in life. I knew we're Mispal every day. Al Tzivienu, Lowly Dechei, Lowly Dechei V'Avon. We're lowly in Nisyanos. Don't bring us to that. And you start to test whether or not it's not easy to say, I'll choose white instead of black, right instead of wrong. It doesn't lend itself to that. Some of the channels, in fact, morally neutral. You just don't know which way to go, but you feel that you've been tested. You've been tried by Hashem in such a way that you have to respond. The response, by the way, does not always indicate the level that you're on. I mean, for example, let's say Avram had responded to the situation with Avimelech by just fleeing for the hills. Instead of confronting Avimelech, or instead of using, you know, the good old lame Achoshihi, she's my sister, which never seemed to work, and yet never stopped the others from using it. But she chose a different approach. Was he wrong? No. Was he right? Also not. The question is, what's his internal response? How does this define his relationship to the Kaddish Baruch Hu? That is what he's about. It's not the immediate event which concerns us. It's the response of the person. It's not the immediate event. It's the response of the person. How is the person going to deal with the situation that Kaddish Baruch Hu has given him? That is what happened here. So now, Sokor El Elisha Lemor. He cries to Elisha saying, this is my Nisayon. My husband was Hirashem. He was a sustainer of the bananas Edom. He was a Novi himself. What are you going to do? Notice, what does he ask Elisha to do? Nothing. She just presents him with a Nisayon. My husband is dead. I am destitute. The creditor has come and taken my two sons. Those are the facts. That's the Nisayon. My husband is Yirei Hashem. Now, you do what you have to do. That was her response. That response actually got me. That's closer really to Avram's response than the Yisrael Shunam. Yes. Yes. That's a different tier. We discussed that already. But that's it. No. I'll tell you why. Because to deal with the Nisrayon, there is, it's a lifelong lesson. Because, you know, most of the Nisrayons in life pop up like that. No one thinks, I have a Nisrayon coming up, I think a week, and I'll deal with it when it comes. No. Nisrayon that suddenly arises. Hold on a second. What's required of us in terms of the Nisrayon? Some Hishtavus. So we can't sit back and say, let's out that chair. You need some Hishtavus. The woman of Shunem, she went to the Novi. Alright? The widow of Ovadia, what's that? No, she had no choice. Not faulting her. Her response was, she's also presenting the fact. This is the situation, all right? There's an injustice that I see. You deal with it. And you did deal with it. What about this woman here, the woman of Shunem? The same thing. We're required to make some established. What was her established? The twofold. Goes to Navi, and then what? Look what he says. Ma'esawa. Hadidili. What do you want? She says nothing. And then he says, Ma'esa chabayis. What do you have in the house? Batoma. Ein l'shivcha sachol babayis. Shima sukhtemet. The only thing I have in the house is one cruse of oil. Vayoma, l'chi shali loch kelim min achud. Go out and borrow vessels from outside. Me'eschos chenoye, from all your neighbors. Kelim reikim, empty vessels. Al paniti. Don't diminish. Don't limit yourself. Don't be sparing. She goes. She gets all the vessels that she needs, or that she can find. She brings them back. That's the question. Was Elisha a great novi? Yes. Great miracle worker? Yes. Why didn't you just produce the vessels? Why didn't you go out and get vessels? What's the difference, in fact, whether she had oil or not? He's obviously doing it miraculously, so make oil out of nothing. Not more oil out of some oil. What's the lesson? Hishtadlus. You have to do something to merit that type of intervention. If that's all in the response that we have, look at his Baruch Hu. So she did two things. She went to get the oil, and she didn't. She went to get the Navi, and then she, when the Navi said that we're not going to produce something out of nothing. No, the Rashi says this here. Now the Malbim, King Brachot Shor al Ayin, Rachel Dover Yeh, Bracha doesn't come on nothing. Bracha comes on something which is to be extended, to be augmented. That's bracha. That's what she did. That was really the measure of the woman, the widow of Ovadia. That is an Yisrael. You just need some activity. Get some jars. The Navi's not going to create jars miraculously. Get some jars, and then you rely on Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yes. No, he followed God's command. What do you mean, stop it? So you need a kegel? Of course, because God said, Kachma Zincha. In the Navi, no one's responding to the direct command of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. God is telling him, Kachma Zincha. So what's there to talk about? See, he may have these thoughts, these sinuses, but he never verbalized them. That's Avram's complete surrender. Ad kedei kach, that you recognize, in the language of Chazal, he already made the bracha al shchita, that God has to, the Malach has to send to him some twice. Avraham, Avraham. Al tishlach efo anar. Al tafam umo. Vayisavram esenu vayavini ayu achay neshchaz basrach tekanov. He sees the aisle, the great aisle, the source of our shofar. He sees something. The aisle is in the place of Yitzchak. So what's Avraham the Shadlus? The greatest type of the Shadlus. He's nichna, he humbles himself before the tzibur of God. That's the greatest part of the Shabbos. God has commanded him, I submit. That submissiveness is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. The question is, what's the Shabbos with Paro, with Avimelech and Sarah? Right, so this we have discussed in past years. But, I think, again, the point that I'm trying to make is, in that situation, there is no good answer. There's no good approach. If there's a good approach, certainly Yitzchak in Togos would have found it. In fact, in Togos, the Torah really skimped. Look at Perek. One second. Yeah, look at Parakhovov, Pasuk Zion, alright? Parakhovov, Pasuk Zion. Vayeshad Yitzchak Igror, Vayeshalu Anshei Amakom Re'ishto, Vayom Rachosihi. The Torah doesn't even go into the whole story. It's as if we know this, it's a rerun. The people asked about his wife, Vayomer Chosrihi, and that's it. You don't need to know the whole story. We've been down that road already. The fact is, in that situation, in the ancient world, there was no good answer. What's the problem? You can't leave because of the famine. You're only there because you need food. So if you leave, you die of famine. If you go into the city, then you subject yourself to death. So that was really the best approach that they had. Yes, that's correct. He did. But the fact is, that's the intervention of God. But if you would, I think we did this a couple of years ago. We plotted out potential responses to this conundrum. All right? How could he respond? He's the best. Maybe weak, but it's the best of all the possibilities. Because the hope was that if they want to marry, if he's Avram's wife, or to kill him and take her. But if he's Avram's sister, so you give the brother wants to marry off an unmarried sister. So you butter him up, you talk to him, you negotiate. So, Benka, maybe time will pass, and the famine will end, and we'll be able to leave before the marriage is consummated. That's the hope. Is there a better plan? Can we discuss this? I can't think of a better plan. I don't know what a better plan would be. In fact, there's also not uncommon in certain situations, for example, during the Holocaust. There's no good choices. To go to Russia, to go into Germany, where are you going to go? You're caught, in the language of the Medrash, you're caught between the snake and the horse, right? Yonah to the Chagvei Asela. So Yonah stands on the cleft of the rock, just goes inside the rock to avoid the horse, and a snake bites him in his eyes. And he stands out on the ledge, the horse comes and devours it. That's between the snake and the horse. in the modern expression, between a rock and a hard place. Where are you going to go? That's a Nisayon. That Nisayon, though, enables the greatness of an individual to emerge. And without... the woman, her two sons were taken away. Yeah, the widow of Avagio. Your husband did the right thing. Did the right thing. And he's punished. She suffers the consequences. But she can't afford to pay his debt. No. She can't. All she said was, this is what happened. Now you do, you rectify the injustice. Which, of course, is the job of the Yishalokim. That really is the theme of the whole Haftarah and the connections of that. That you see the Nisyonos that come upon people, and the Nisyonos really test the individual, not in the instant event, but how they look at it, how their world changes, how they approach their relationship to Hashem after that event. That really is the great lesson of Avram in Vayero, that's reinforced by that Torah, really in both stories. And that really is how the Navi supplements the message of the Torah and the Sedra of the Sage. Yes. Well, that case is different because I don't think I can offer myself that Sar would handle it. What, in fact, Medra says Sar would have prevented it. Having not received the Tzivui, Sar would have prevented Avram. Yes, that's possible. That's very possible. There is that, there is that pacifist element, you know, that's the Yad Hashem, we have to accept it. We have to accept it. Let me just see if I'm the first one to say anything about that particular point. No. No, she didn't say a word to him. Right. Yes. Yeah. Seems they were him. Could be. Maybe we're more rational. Wouldn't stop. Who would have stopped her? That could be. Would have stopped her. But she felt that she had to, for her own spiritual sake, she had to approach the Novi and find out not just direction, but find out how such a thing could happen, how such an injustice could be perpetrated. That was the question, and that was on the Israel. And really all of them came through very well. All of them are inspirations. Avram Sara, and the widow of Avagio, and the woman of Sinai. All right, thank you very much.